Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome, everyone, to the Gym Class on this chilly, chilly's putting it mildly, Monday afternoon in Eastern Iowa. Coming to you live from the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, airing only on 1600 AM this hour, as Boys State basketball tournament coverage is on the air on our other two frequencies, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. It's Albernette and Sioux Central right now. Albernette leading 12-8 after one quarter. Thanks, Jeff Downing, our producer. Coming up after that game on 106.3 FM, Iowa City Regina, back in the Boys State basketball tournament. It will take on Boyden Hall. That game, approximately 4:15. A tip will keep you up to date on programming the rest of the week. Also 6:30 tonight on 1600 AM, Iowa State women take on Kansas, trying to lock up second place in the Big 12 Conference. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann on this Monday, as you would suspect, Scott Unash in Des Moines. He's gotten to know I-80 very, very well once again.
I assume he had known it quite well from past years, but he's definitely gotten to know the new potholes or any of the bad ice spots, I guess.
He has indeed. And by the way, the Gym Class presented this week and always by Third Base Brewery on Blair's Ferry Road. Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch, catch a ball game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. At Third Base, you're practically home. Thanks to the folks out there at Third Base. We're going to talk with Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist, at the bottom of the hour. And a lot to chew on over the weekend, plenty of basketball. Kyle, I want to start with the Iowa women's basketball team. Of course, it was senior day for the men and the women over the weekend. One went about as scripted as you can possibly get. The other one played out like a B-movie. Let's talk about the women first, and it was a convincing 74-50 victory over Northwestern Iowa, locking up second place in the Big Ten and the home finale of the regular season anyway, for Megan Gustafson, Hannah Stewart, and Tania Davis. It appears Iowa may have locked up, probably has locked up, at least one, if not two, games in the first two rounds of the Big Ten or the NCAA tournament. So Iowa women off to the Big Ten tournament in flying fashion. Gustafson today named, not surprisingly, the Big Ten Player of the Year, her 23rd Big Ten Player of the Week honor after scoring 34 points and grabbing 12 rebounds against Northwestern. And Kyle, I don't know if you noticed, but more than that, she was on the court for more than an hour after the game. The town of Port Wayne, Wisconsin was there to see her off, not only her parents, but plenty of folks from that very tiny town up by Lake Superior. And she just lingered on the court forever, accommodating fans, taking pictures with them. And I have a little more perspective than you just because of age, but I don't know of a more beloved, at least a female athlete, if not Iowa athlete in general. I mean, there's been plenty. Don't give me Chris Street. You can probably start there. But Megan Gustafson is going to go down as one of the all-time greats. No, there's no question about it. Well, that's an understatement.
Yeah, it helps that she's literally going to be the greatest Iowa basketball player to ever grace Iowa City. So, I mean, that itself demands attention, but then I think what you're speaking to, you know, the way that she's so beloved by the fans is, you know, I don't know Megan Gustafson. I only know her from the interactions I have when I call her for interviews or when they call us or, you know, however it goes. And it happened last year when we had her the first few times. Lisa Bluter told her, or told us, you know, like, listen, Megan Gustafson is a sweetheart, and not just in a way where I'm going to go on the radio and say this because it sounds good. But Megan is actually a very, very nice girl. I've got a buddy on the, he's a manager on the team. He works closely with the team. He says that that is absolutely true. And I have just one story. I believe Todd Brommelkamp mentioned this on the air one time, but one of our recent interviews with her, Todd and Alex recorded earlier in the day, and as they're wrapping up the interview, Megan hangs up because the conversation's over. And she had the Iowa women's basketball team's SID reach out to me because Megan was concerned that she hung up early and that Todd and Alex were upset that she had hung up on them. And, you know, of course they weren't because she hadn't, but that is Megan Gustafson. She is that nice. She is a nice girl, very easy to root for.
A lot of folks like to say that's the small town upbringing. Listen, you could be a sweetheart or a gentleman if you come from Detroit. I don't think that has a whole lot to do with it other than the fact that that small town atmosphere where everybody knows everybody in town, and you do things for one another, that speaks a lot to her parental upbringing, and she's carried that over, just a consummate teammate. You know, I watch her during the game, and she's a willing passer. She gets an assist. She always points out the person who dished the ball to her. Again, just a consummate teammate, and just an enormous pleasure to watch. And 12,000 folks at Carver Hawkeye. There's been some Iowa men's games that haven't drawn that well. But great to see the appreciative fans in attendance, and hats off to those three. Taniah Davis is a story in and of herself, and I know you're reaching out to get her on one of the two programs and just to, you know, come through her knee surgeries and complete her career. And Hannah Stewart, I think, took like 6 shots her freshman year, could have easily transferred, but she has grown into a terrific contributor for the Iowa women. 319-366-1600 is our Hurtin & Stocker Jeweler text line if you'd like to weigh in. I don't know where to start with the Iowa men's basketball team.
I could see that on your face.
Other than, I hate roller coasters, okay?
Yeah.
The physical roller coaster. I won't go on them, okay? But you can't avoid this roller coaster of a season for the Iowa men's basketball team.
You really can't. And, you know, maybe we'll have to see, because maybe what we saw over the weekend is just a product of Fran McCaffrey not being on the sideline. You know, Andrew Francis is not a head coach. He's not familiar with, you know, he's been around it, but he's not a head coach. You know, maybe we can chalk it up to some of that. But you're right. The team that we saw is just a continuation of what has been a roller coaster of a season. And the thing that concerns me is, as we approach postseason play here, Iowa's now dropped 3 of 4 in a row. They won something like 3 or 4 in a row before that, and all of those were, you know, buzzer beaters or, you know, those crazy games that we had. And I look at the Iowa team and I just, you know, they are cemented in the NCAA tournament. But for me, I am concerned that, you know, I don't know how long the team in its current incarnation, I don't know how long that team's going to last in postseason play.
As you know, the Hawkeyes started 0-3 in the Big Ten, and folks were saying, oh, here we go, another 4-14 campaign. This is going to be a lousy season. And Iowa reels off 5 wins in a row, although those victories included ones against Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, and Illinois. A nice victory over Ohio State in that stretch. And then Iowa loses 2 in a row, and then they beat Michigan and Indiana in perhaps 2 of their better games of the year. But as you mentioned, in the last 4, it's an overtime victory against Indiana, and losses by a point and then by 20 points at Ohio State, and this 14-point loss at home to Rutgers on Nicholas Bear's senior day. I don't think that's the way he scripted it. That's for sure. But he had a nice send-off nonetheless. Fran McCaffrey there to send him out. But, Kyle, I was watching that game late Saturday afternoon, and I'm thinking, this team not only is not playing very well right now, it's going nowhere. It continues to play like this, it's going nowhere, including in the Big Ten tournament. It's probably in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, when you just when you think that, you look back, and again, I 0-3 to start the season and then reel off five in a row. I don't know what we're getting with this Iowa basketball team.
Well, unfortunately, you think back to the beginning of the season, there were a lot of concerns with this team. It was a lot of them were defensive, but I think there were concerns about, you know, who's going to be an actual point guard, because I think Fran McCaffrey would be the first to tell you he'd love to find more opportunities to move Jordan Bohannon off the ball. But a big concern was just kind of going to be consistency. You know, is the defense, you know, ever going to be there? We have seen it a little bit, but not with consistency. And as we saw over the weekend, the offense can be really good at times, but also susceptible to inconsistency. And you end up with games where you lose by almost 22. You know, Rutgers is better than it used to be, but Rutgers is still Rutgers. You know, this was their first road ranked win as a member of the Big Ten. I believe it was their first road ranked win since 2008, just in general or something like that. This Rutgers team is not that good, okay? Realistically, I know they're a member of, you know, quote-unquote, the best team or the best league in the country, but this Rutgers team is not that good. They shot 50% from the floor, almost 50% from the three. Iowa, on the other hand, 35% from the floor, under 30 from three. You know, those are awful numbers. You can't put up performances like that against a team like Rutgers and expect to find success in the postseason.
There's a reason players are having career games against Iowa recently. Arns at Ohio State had scored 29 points in 16 games, and he goes off for 29 in one game. Ron Harper Jr. had 27 yesterday, I think. Nice player. He's not a 27-point-per-game player.
And I'm
the reason is defense.
Yep. And
no question in my mind.
A guy, when you run into a guy like Ron Harper, like you said, he's a good player. And Iowa, at times, has shown that it has improved in terms of communication, awareness, just kind of playing a team defense. But when they run into a guy like a Ron Harper, they still don't have that one singular defender who you can paste on a guy and be like, okay, make this game really difficult for this guy. They don't have anybody who can do that still. And you're going to, you know, there are going to come times when you need that guy.
Iowa, with two games remaining in the conference season, those coming up Thursday at Wisconsin, Saturday at Nebraska. KGYMRadio.com poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. We ask you this: how will the Hawkeyes fare over their final two regular season games? Will the Hawkeyes go 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2? Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Thursday's going to be difficult, with or without Fran McCaffrey. Kirk Spierow is going to assume the head coaching duties, so he's got the scouting report, and that's why that will be. And Kirk, a longtime head coach himself, but it's a different dynamic when that happens. And Wisconsin's tough at home. It wants to protect, at least get into that top four seeding, a pecking order. Get a double bye. We know the Badgers defeated Iowa back in 2018 when the two conference games were played before the new year. So this is going to be a very, very difficult one for Iowa and Nebraska. I think the only thing going for the Cornhuskers is that it's at home. And that could be a very, very difficult out as well. Listen, the way Iowa's playing, every game is questionable and hard to figure out. So what do you think? The last two games, 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2? Go ahead and weigh in. 366-1600, our text line.
Yeah, and you bring up Wisconsin. Of course, they're always going to be tough at home. But you bring up the point about them. They're going to be fighting for that one of those top four seeds in the Big Ten tournament. They're currently fourth, just ahead of Maryland by a half a game. And so Wisconsin's in a position where they're in right now. And as long as they win out, they take care of their own business, they're going to be up there. And so they're going to show up on Thursday. And another thing I don't think we should overlook is that that's going to be senior day for Ethan Happ. So there's going to be a lot of motion there for Wisconsin as well. I have a bad feeling how that night ends up for Iowa.
81-42 on the text line. The Iowa men's basketball team lacks a sense of urgency and play passively on defense. Not a winning combination. 15-45, I was at the Iowa women's game yesterday. There were four Iowa men's players sitting in front of us, so I texted a friend of that fact. He jokingly responded, "Why don't you ask them if they did anything yesterday?"
I'm really curious how much of an effect Fran McCaffrey not being there on the sideline played into that. Because like I said, you know, Rutgers is a good improving program, but I cannot believe that the game over the weekend was not just a loss for Iowa. It was lopsided. Rutgers beat Iowa. Iowa just did not look up to snuff with Rutgers. And I know Iowa is better than what we saw over the weekend, and I just can't help but wonder how much of that performance needs to be chalked up to Fran McCaffrey not being there. Not necessarily trying to, you know, take away, you know, from the performance that we saw, you know, because Tyler Cook was quick to point out, even when Fran McCaffrey is there on the sideline, he's not there on the floor helping. So it's up to the players to keep things up, but I just cannot help but wonder, you know, how much of a drop-off there was with Andrew Francis instead of Fran McCaffrey, because the result kind of is inexplicable.
It can't help when Fran McCaffrey is sitting in his office or in the Iowa locker room watching the game with suspended play-by-play announcer Gary Dolphin. Andrew Francis said, you know, these guys know my voice, but it's in a different capacity. It's not a head coaching capacity. And no fault whatsoever to Francis, because I don't think he had much negative impact on the game.
Yeah.
It was a matter of the guys out on the floor. And Iowa 10-8, 21-8 overall on the surface, pretty good records. But the way this whole season has gone down has just been a head scratcher to me. Also scratching their heads are the Iowa State Cyclones. Men's team has lost three of its last four and now face games at West Virginia on Wednesday and Saturday at home against Texas Tech. And news today from Steve Prohm that Nick Weiler-Babb is going to be iffy after he suffered an injury in the game against Texas. And Cameron Lard apparently will be a go at West Virginia after sitting out last game for disciplinary reasons. So it's, you know, Iowa State trying to get in the upper half of the Big 12, improve its seeding. And this is a team that one time folks thought it was going to contend for the Big 12 championship, maybe a sleeper to reach the Elite Eight, and now on a skid.
Yeah, even just as recently as a couple weeks ago, Ken Pom, who, you know, does all these statistical formulas and models and stuff like that, Ken Pom actually had Iowa State as your new favorite to win the Big 12. And since then, Iowa State has done nothing but take step backwards. And when I look at that team, the thing that's interesting to me, early in the year, you know, you had Talon Horton Tucker playing decently. Mariel Shayok was just a revelation, much more than they expected coming from Virginia. Nick Weiler-Babb, you know, your senior point guard, you had this team coming together pretty well. But all along, you had Lindell Wigginton working his way back from a foot injury. And I would have to go back and review some of the numbers on this. And I'm not necessarily saying it's Lindell Wigginton's fault, but it's been interesting to me. Mariel Shayok was the Big 12's leading scorer, and Iowa State was hitting on all cylinders. And ever since Lindell Wigginton has come back and started playing, you know, he's up over that 20-25 minute mark. He's playing a lot of time now, scoring a lot of points. And, you know, you look at the box scores, Lindell Wigginton's playing well. But the time in which Iowa State has started to kind of hit this skid coincides with the time that Lindell Wigginton has started becoming more of a focal point of the offense and less so for Mariel Shayok. And I just, again, I don't know what to make of that. But it's just interesting to me that the way that that's played out.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more of your texts, your comments, and more discussion here on the Gym Class.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and C-Corp tax filings before April 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
You guys want to do it? Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now, how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life. Using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring. Local flooring experts by design.
Welcome back to the Gym Class 326 on this Monday. Thanks for joining us on 1600 AM right now on 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash on the call of Boys State Tournament action right now at halftime. Albernette leads Sioux Center 25-18. Back on the text line, some comments from our previous discussion. In regards to Iowa State 64-39, Prome can recruit, coaching not so much. We'll see about that. Ryan from Walford, they could have had Shaq guarding on the perimeter and those shots would have fallen in for Rutgers. It's troubling to see the offensive struggles. It looks like they may be getting tired. This stretch of 6 days off hopefully will help. Still at 21-8 with 2 games left, it's better than any Hawk fan thought before the season. Doug in Coralville, NCAA tournament is all about guard play, and Iowa has no guards that are consistent.
That one's tough to me, that text from Doug in Coralville, because the NCAA tournament is all about guard play. You know, you can think back to Jimmer Fredette, Steph Curry, CJ McCollum. It's always
any Kansas guard.
Yeah. Any of the senior Kansas point guards over the last decade or so. But you look at Jordan Bohannon, and Jordan Bohannon is the type of guy who can get hot, get very streaky. We saw it at the end of the Indiana game. I forget who the other games were, but you guys know the games I'm talking about. Jordan Bohannon can get hot. He can make big shots. He has that range that you see in March. But he doesn't have that consistency. And if Jordan Bohannon is not making shots, a lot of times in the Big Ten, Iowa's been able to rely on Luka Garza, Tyler Cook, you know, just pounding it down low, getting free throws. That is not, you know, that helps. It's good to have that component to your team. But once you get to March, Doug in Coralville is exactly right. You're going to run into some teams that collectively shoot 40% or better from beyond the arc, and you're just going to have to keep up with that scoring pace, and you can't do it from down low.
By the same token, Iowa's seen that in the Big Ten. So, will they see any better guard play than what they've seen in the Big Ten?
Well, that,
Cassius Winston,
yeah,
and
that's a good point.
Bam Bam on the text line in regards to Iowa women. The first time I saw a women's Hawkeye game was 1975 when I was 15. I don't know why, but I feel this way. But to me, Megan Gustafson hasn't gotten enough attention from Iowa fans. We've had great teams before, but she is the most dominating player I've ever seen at Iowa. It was nice to see a great crowd show up yesterday. It might be a long time till we see anybody that elite at Iowa again. Now, I'm not so sure Lisa Bluter knew what she was getting when she went to Port Wing, Wisconsin in the dead of winter and signed Megan Gustafson. She's just been revelation and a true credit to the University of Iowa. So hopefully Iowa can make a nice run on the women's side, if not the men, in the Big Ten tournament and beyond. Other news over the weekend, tragic news about former Iowa running back Damon Bullock, who was killed while he was on the side of the road. He had been involved in an accident, was walking to get help, and then was hit on the side of the road and killed Sunday in Texas. Bullock was a very serviceable player at the University of Iowa. He was, you know, in the mix with Marcus Coker and Jordan Canzari and Mark Wiseman at the time. But he had almost 1,700 all-purpose yards in his career, 5 touchdowns, and he's a nice player. A lot of folks point to his game-winning touchdown run against Northern Illinois in 2012 as probably the crowning jewel of his career. But whether he's a football player or not, that's a tragic I heard from one of his former teachers at the University of Iowa who expressed a different kind of remorse. She didn't know as much about him as a football player as she knew him as a student and as a person. And he was an all-star in that regard, according to her. So a lot of folks reaching out, Christian Kirksey, Jordan Lomax, his former teammates, expressing their sincere thoughts on Damon Bullock's death.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to add there. Just a terrible, unfortunate series of events. You know, my thoughts go out to Damon Bullock's family, friends, his former teammates. Just, yeah, not a whole lot to say. Just a terrible situation.
Also announced today, Jim Delaney is going to hang it up as Big Ten commissioner. Kyle, at your age, you have only known one commissioner in the Big Ten, and that's Jim Delaney.
That's right.
I, on the other hand, remember when Wayne Duke was the Big Ten commissioner.
That's a great name.
If I'm repeating myself, I got his mail one time at the Rose Bowl.
Wayne Duke?
Yeah, he was the Big Ten commissioner.
Interesting.
And I was covering Iowa at the Rose Bowl. And we went off to Knott's Berry Farm or some, I don't know, some trumped-up event. Got back to my hotel to file my story, and I got this pile of mail. This is 81, Kyle. No cell phones.
Did you go to any of his meetings for him?
No.
Hello, I'm Wayne Duke.
I quickly sifted through it. I had no messages whatsoever. I had no love, you know. So I took all the mail back down to the front desk, and actually at a news conference the next, I don't know, a day or two later, he sought me out and thanked me for returning his mail. But Wayne Duke preceded Jim Delaney, but didn't get near as much done as Jim Delaney has gotten done. The advent of the Big Ten Network, we've got Big Ten men's and women's basketball tournaments now. He was very at the forefront of the Big Ten using instant replay for the first time. And he is going to step down July, and when his contract expires July 2020, and I'm sure we'll talk more between now and then about his legacy, but so much has happened in his 30 years. He expanded the conference to 14 teams, like it or not, A lot of things have happened in his tenure.
This is such a hokey, corny question. I can't believe I'm about to ask it. But what would you say defines his legacy? Is it the BTN, the expansion of the conference, just kind of the expansion in general, the way he grew it? Is that what he's going to be remembered for?
I think it's a combination of the two in my mind. Through much of my life, the Big Ten was 10 teams. And in football, it was the Big Two and the Little Eight for so many years. Until really Iowa broke in under Hayden Fry and busted that up. But Penn State coming in 1990 and then adding three more teams to make the conference 14 teams, that was significant. But the Big Ten Network was a game changer as well, because it has not only benefited football and basketball, but other programs as well. You can see wrestling meets, gymnastics meets, swim meets.
Women's basketball.
And some great features as well. So, I don't know. He's done a lot. And the next commissioner has got pretty big shoes to fill. So perhaps we'll discuss that a little bit with our next guest, Michael Lost. Michael Lost, he'll be back with us after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh, never frozen beef and double the apple with smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
It's Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower, Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque, and the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Warrants large regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Springtime is almost here, and there's no better time to tackle that next job. At AutoZone, we have the free services to help you get it done. Having problems starting your car? Before you start replacing parts, come to AutoZone. We'll test your battery for free and help you figure out the likely issue, so you won't waste money on parts you don't need. Getting the job done just got easier. Wipers starting to squeak? It might be time for a change. Stop in for great deals on Rain-X wiper blades. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back to the gym class. Coming up on 3:37 from our Southwest side studios in Cedar Rapids, Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Right now, Al Burnett playing Sioux Center in the Boys State basketball tournament. Last we heard, Al Burnett up 7 points at halftime. All right, now I want to greet our Monday guest, Michael Lost, Gazette sports columnist. On this Monday, and I know you don't believe it, Mike, but it's one day closer to spring.
No, I don't believe it. I'm a little ticked off. I was just going to go to that Simpson-Iowa baseball game tomorrow, and they tell me that it's canceled because of the weather. What is wrong with people? You can't play in a little cold?
Yeah, that will not be played. But what will be played this week is a couple final games in the Big Ten basketball conference, and Iowa, after its loss to Rutgers, plays at Wisconsin Thursday and at Nebraska on Sunday. Let's go back to the Rutgers game. It was all supposed to be Nick Bear's day, and he did have a good day. He had 17 points and did about as much as he could to help Iowa win that game. But Is it senseless to try to understand this team anymore?
Oh, I think it's, to some degree, it's college basketball in a nutshell. I mean, look, all along we've known Iowa doesn't have a great team. Good team, not a great team. But it hasn't really been in the kind of rut like it's been in the last week. I mean, there were only a few clunkers up until last week, and actually the ones that were kind of excusable in hindsight, at Michigan State and at Purdue come to mind. But the Ohio State thing was dismal last Tuesday, and then Saturday was the flattest, I think, that they played all season. That was just strange.
It was not a good week for the program. Do you think that played into it?
No, I think too much stuff gets put into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're talking about McCaffrey getting suspended.
Right.
Players shrug that off. I mean, it changes the routine a little bit. I mean, obviously, during the game, it's a change, but you come to play or you don't. The other team, Rutgers, played a beautiful game, and Iowa had no answer for it. But, I mean, what you're looking at, though, you're looking at last season's kind of things defensively. Tuesday night at Ohio State, a freshman who was averaging 2 points a game scored 29. Saturday in Iowa City, Ron Harper Jr., another freshman, he's averaging 7 a game. He gets 27. Good teams don't let that happen, and that can't happen one more time, or Iowa's got serious problems this season.
Yeah, I think that's in a nutshell. You mentioned those two, Arns and Harper, and it comes down to defense, and I don't have an elixir in that regard, but somebody's got to, or this team is in trouble.
Well, they've had a lot of good defensive games in the Big Ten this season, but they have to bring their best. I mean, that's not analysis, that's just simply put. They've got to be at their sharpest. We've seen it. I mean, we've seen it against Michigan. You know, we've seen it against other good teams, but the point totals that Ohio State and Rutgers scored were both 20 points above their team averages, and that's, you know, that's absurd.
How are you going to remember Nicholas Bear?
Very fondly. I mean, the way he played the game, obviously, everybody saw, but I, covering this team as a beat writer this past season, I got to spend a lot of time around him, listening to him, observing him. Really liked him. Really like him. Smart. I mean, especially smart, articulate, good-natured, seems to treat everybody well, and a genuine example setter for the rest of his team. I have nothing but good things to say about the character and the personality of the players on that team. I think it's a lot of smart guys. It's a lot of good-natured guys. It's a tight team. And I think that a whole lot of that comes from Bear.
Yeah, he did things that no other player in Iowa history did, and I don't remember all the statistics, but right across the board, points, rebounds, block shots, three-point goals. In addition to what you described to him, you know better than we do and our listeners do about what kind of person he is, so I appreciate that perspective. And Mike, last year, Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss tested the NBA waters, got an evaluation, and I don't know if we'll be getting ahead of ourselves, but I thought about this over the weekend. Are these guys going to go through the same routine? Because, Mike, these guys are not NBA players.
Yeah, well, you know what? Look at the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a new thing. Iowa hasn't had NBA players, and you know, things aren't all that complicated. Look at national championship teams and how many NBA players they had. Look at Final Four teams with exceptions, but by and large, look at Big Ten championship teams. I'll bet you that every Big Ten regular season champion of the last 10 or 15 years has had an NBA player or two. I mean, maybe Wieskamp will be one day. But right now, you know, the Big Ten doesn't have very many,
mm-hmm.
frankly. This is, is, but what you're seeing, bigger picture, is I think you're seeing a lot of tired teams in that league, maybe mentally tired more than physically. 20-game league season, and they all know each other so well. The scouting reports are pretty easy because they know each other intimately. And it just starts to become a grind. And I've seen this a lot of times, that once it seems like once the conference tournament starts and then the NCAA tournament, it's a new lease on life. And sometimes what you've seen in late February and early March can just fly right out the window.
Yeah. After the weekend shook out, it's Purdue on top of the standings. How surprised are you?
It's a surprise team. I saw them on January the 3rd in West Lafayette, and they easily handled Iowa that night. But it seemed like it was, you know, Carson Edwards and Carson Edwards' helpers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like LeBron with the Lakers. But a lot of other players on that team have really emerged, including the 7'3" kid from the Netherlands.
Arms.
And, you know, Edwards hasn't always been great here in the last several games, but that team has been, and it's a good story. Really, I mean, they look like they're going to win to me. Looking at their schedule, I think they go to Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's you know, a potential pothole, but if they win that game, it's their title outright, I believe it will be.
A lot of conference tournaments getting in action this week, including the Missouri Valley. Best story never addressed by us or anybody else. Drake winning a share of the Valley, but then bad news coming down today. DJ Wilkins averages 11 points a game, out for the year with a broken foot. This is a tournament that I'm going to watch because I don't know who the hell's going to win it.
Yeah, that's terrible news for Drake. I mean, just, you know, what can you say? You lose a player like that, a vital player, right before the conference tournament. And they've already done so much in the absence of Norton, who they lost, like, right at the beginning of the conference season. But, okay, you can stop right now, and if Drake doesn't win another game, they shared the Missouri Valley regular season title when they were picked ninth, with, I think, three players back from last year's team, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a great story. It's the best college basketball story in the state this season, bar none. And there's going to be a banner that goes up in Knapp Center honoring a championship team, and no matter what happens from here on out with the shorthanded team, can't take that away from them, and that was something that was done over 18 games.
I know the schedule, your schedule being what it is, you couldn't get down to Iowa City yesterday, but one more can be said of Megan Gustafson.
It remains, what may still be said about her is National Player of the Year. It's going to be interesting to me if she gets that honor or not.
Mm.
I know that everybody within the state's borders thinks that she should. I'm not particularly well informed on who her main competition is, but if she gets that, that's something we've never seen at Iowa, obviously, and that would just be icing on the cake of what's, you know, look, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. The numbers that she has posted are unparalleled in these parts and in, you know, just about any parts. And that's a team that's looking at, home games in the first week of the NCAA tournament?
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff. This is, I mean, it's really good stuff. And they had 12,000 people down there yesterday, and I'm wondering, you know, Jeff Linder and I were talking about this morning, if maybe they can approach those kind of crowds for the NCAA, assuming that the game nights and starting times cooperate.
Yeah, that's the whole key right there. But if they're conducive, I think you might see that again, because it might be one last opportunity to see Gustafson. But I want to ask you, too, Michael Loss joining us on the gym class today, by the way. Gazette sports columnist Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann. And we spoke of it earlier, tragic news about Damon Bullock. What's your recollections of him, either as a player, as a person, or both?
Well, people reflected on the game he had in Soldier Field against Northern Illinois, and understandably, he really produced in that game, and it was a surprisingly hard game for Iowa. I think it was 18-17, and they won it. And it was kind of a signal that that year wasn't going to be easy, and it wasn't. But what I remember about Bullock is not such a good thing. It's that he got concussed and pretty much had his career, you know, shortchanged by that. It was sort of a reminder of how brutal the game is, because he was a guy who clearly had talents, and the injuries kind of stopped him. But if you look at his numbers, he did have, I think he had 1,700 or 1,800 total yards in his career. He caught a lot of passes. He had a couple of plays in the 50-yard range over his career. And then, like so many former players, their eligibility's done and they leave, and you never hear about them again. It's no great tragedy that. It's just there's so many football players, and you can't keep track of them all, and some live far away. They move back home. And so it's like, okay, Damon Bullock was a name that I hadn't really thought about for years. And then to hear what happened to him yesterday, it's just like, it's just criminally unfair.
Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney's going to hang it up, not this July, but next July. I don't know how much interaction you've had with Jim Delaney, but Kyle and I were talking earlier. So much has happened under his tenure, not that he was solely responsible for any or all of it, but this conference is not your granddad's conference anymore.
No, he was responsible for a lot, though. And it wasn't always, how shall I put this? People didn't always agree with him, but he always had reasons for the things he did. And he always, to me, has seemed like a long-term thinker and a big thinker. And I'll tell you what, the money that Big Ten Network has put into the coffers of the member schools is, it's just science fiction-like, if I told you that 10 years ago. But it's happened, and he is the number one reason for that. He had the vision for what, at the time, he called the network, and I was skeptical. I thought,
Yeah.
What's that going to be? And the first year or two, it was like, it kind of seemed like amateur hour in some regards. And now you look at it, and it's a very slick thing that just makes more and more money for the conference. That's just one thing, but it's a pretty big thing. And to me, it's indicative of Delaney's tenure. Now, another thing is, he, under his direction, they add, Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland. And was he commissioner when Penn State came in?
He was just getting settled in his chair. He began in 89, and Penn State came in 90. So
okay,
yeah.
That's enormous, adding four schools like that. Whether you agree that they should have or not, he had no hesitancy whatsoever. He saw the value in it, and the league made it happen, and it's a completely different conference as a result.
He's meant as much monetarily to the conference as anything. You mentioned the Big Ten Network, but then expanding bowl opportunities. You got to be pretty bad if you're not in a bowl game these days. Not that everybody makes money on a bowl game, but, signed the Big Ten men's and women's basketball postseason tournaments. He's involved in a huge contract with CBS for the men's tournament.
And Fox.
Yes, yes, yes.
The thing, the guy never gets cheated. You mentioned one thing, bowl affiliations. Compare the Big Ten's bowl affiliations to, say, the Big 12s or the Pac-12s.
Mm-hmm.
They're vastly superior. Now you'd say, well, look at the media markets the Big Ten is in. But, okay, but if you're asleep at the wheel, you end up in, you know, a bunch of independence bowls. And he sewed up these pretty good second-tier games in Florida and Tampa and in Orlando. And that makes a difference, you know. I mean, Iowa went to some nice destinations over the last 15, 20 years, and it could very easily have been, you know, Mobile or...
Yeah, yeah.
Or a place they went twice in the 90s, El Paso. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mike, I got to run, but appreciate your insight as always. We'll join you again next Monday and talk how the regular season wraps up and the postseason, okay?
Very well. See you, Mark.
Thanks, Mike. Michael Oss of the Gazette sports columnist, joining us as he does every Monday on the Gym Class. Before we wrap it up, let's take a break. We'll be back.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at DuPaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind, one-coat-ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount Paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus Super Premium Home Center brands in eggshell sheen.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paramount Paint.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
When it's sports you need, tune to KGYM. Great ESPN programming and live local sports. When it's smart rock you need, tune to Smart FM for great smart rock and weekend programming. Like the Beatles Buffet, Sunday mornings at 11. Looking for something a little off the beaten path? Chris Jackson's got you covered with Where It's At. Everything alternative, Sunday nights at 6. Smart rock on Smart FM.
Welcome back. The last few minutes of the Gym Class today. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you on 1600 AM. Right now in the FMs, the closing minutes of the Auburnette Sioux Center game in the Boys State Basketball Tournament. Jeff Downing tells me it's nip and tuck right now. Auburnette up by one. We'll get you a final on that game, perhaps on Kyle's big board update on the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Thanks to Michael Loss for joining us today. Plenty of good guests the rest of the week. Again, a poll question, KGYMRadio.com. How will the Hawks fare over their final two regular season games? 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2? Appreciate you listening today. Kyle, thanks. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
There's never been a better time to switch to Sprint. Right now, get it.